massive fan of off the ball.
I'm glad you looked at 8 years anyway, not no. three.
Try before you subscribe.
It's always good guests,
aren't you? You're either a player or you're a coach for me, yeah.
It's brilliant.
Get 3 free podcasts per month. Just download the Off the Ball app now.
Highly recommend it.
You're listening to Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Yeah! Hiya, Emma Carroll here from Off the Ball Breakfast, bringing you yet another bite-sized chunk of Off the Ball. I'm going to tell you what you need to know from this week's show, and I'll bring it to you every Friday afternoon. So, let's get into it. This week, we caught up with some of our Paralympic medalists. Cyclist Katie George Dunleavy joined us following her silver medal win on the track alongside pilot Eve McChrystal. She told us all about how she had to overcome illness and injury to make it to Paris.
Shoulder surgery and illness this week.
Unfortunately, Katie had a broken collarbone. I came away with nothing. It's just the way we fell. But then sometimes these things are sent to try us. And when you know that that's happened, you know then that you just have to fight that bit more when you're in the start gate.
What was the virus? Did you find out what it was or what caused it?
I think I must have got it on the way over in the airport. It's all we can think of. Yeah, I was just in bed for 3 days here in the village, which was awful. And I was really, really worried that I wouldn't be on the start line.
Katie George, you actually have 4 pins in your collarbone. It's like a war wound that all the cyclists have.
Badge of honour.
Badge of honour, sorry, yes. 4 pins, though. You're going to be going through the airport security for the rest of your life.
Do you know what? I haven't sent it off once yet since I've gone through, because I think a lot of them have these scanners now where you stand with your arms like that and it's probably like, oh yeah, it's just another one with a pin in her, you know, like a lot of other people. It's more than medals, you know, if you have medals going through the airport,
hey,
they always kind of
say,
what is that? And then they go, oh, what's this? And you're trying to explain, and it's quite nice.
Katie George Dunleavy there, an absolute Paralympic legend. She won silver on the track on Sunday, and then the day after this interview, she went on to win gold on the road with her road pilot, Linda Kenny. So, Ireland are going to welcome, would we use that phrase, England to the Aviva on Saturday, and ex-Irish international Lee Carsley will be managing the English side. His good friend and ex-teammate, Kevin Kilbane, tells us what you need to know about just how good of a coach Carsley might be.
It feels extremely strange. It'll feel weird. And I'm sure it feels very strange for a lot of people that's covering the game. As I said before, Lee's been putting himself in a position for such a long time. He's been part of a system where he's been coaching. And if you don't forget, you think back, what, 2 years ago? Not 2 years ago, about a year ago, 8-9 months ago, when Lee was favourite for the job. There was many people saying, we can't have a guy coming in to take this job who's got no experience whatsoever. And we knew that this was probably, I certainly knew that this scenario right now, not necessarily coming to play his first game in Dublin, but this scenario with him taking over England was such a huge possibility that any doubt around his credit or around his credibility or talent or however you want to say it, or capabilities of taking the Irish job probably now looks very foolish if you were thinking that way, because everybody knows that's probably been around Lee or certainly followed Lee through the last 10 or 15 years of his career, knows full well that Lee taking the Irish job, we would have got one of the best coaches that's going right now in world football to take the Irish team forward. So anyone that had that doubt about his maybe level of coaching or his level of management maybe 6 months, 8 months ago might be thinking a little bit differently now.
Sounds like the FAI might have missed the boat there on a top quality coach. There was a lot of debate on the show this week around what is the most elitist sport. Well, ex-tennis pro Simon Carr told us just how much it costs to be a professional tennis player.
I was saying off air that once you get into it and you kind of get into the elite level of it, it's extremely expensive. Do you know, like it's. I was saying earlier on, it's 40 to 50k for a professional to play for a year on the tour. And the prize money is so minimal, especially at the lower levels. The prize money is so top heavy. You know, it really doesn't filter down. Like someone who's on 130, 140 in the world.
And the 40-50k is without a coach or
that's on your own. Yeah, that's on your tod. Traveling 30-35 weeks a year to tournaments.
So if you're like 200 in the world, 150 in the world, how much are you making prize money wise per year?
Yeah, so from my perspective, my career high was 500, and the year I was 500, I made 15k in prize money. Now obviously I was very lucky to have sponsors and stuff to keep me going. But if you're 150, 200. The first round qualifying prize money, I think, is about 15k maybe. I could be wrong now. I need to check that. But first round for main draw is 100k. So you show up, you lose first round of the US Open, it's 100k.
You're doing okay.
Yeah.
The 40 to 50 is just to wash your face. Like, there's no salary out of that.
That's minimal.
Yeah.
That's minimal. There was, you know, no money in my personal bank account for five to 10 years. It's all straight back in. Whatever prize money you made, straight back into the
travel and accommodation, is it?
That's everything, yeah. String in accommodation, physios on the road, food. I mean, you're eating out every night, so that adds up. It's 40, 50 quid a day. So the costs are, you know, they really add up fast.
The original entry to tennis is, would you say, fairly accessible to people?
Yeah, it would be. Like, there's a lot of clubs.
Would you agree with me?
Leading question.
Well spotted, Simon, by the way.
No, it is. Is it like, you know, I started back, you know, when I was 9 down in Mullingar, and you know, you just go down and you're playing, and it is quite accessible, I would say. Even more so in other countries. It's not a big sport here, so it's not something you're urged into the football and the hurling and other sports, team sports that are easier to get into.
As the GAA managerial merry-go-round continues, Off the Ball GAA correspondent Tommy Rooney explained what we need to know about the importance of a good number two.
So a number two, a coach, somebody who can excite the players, that can maybe get things going again and maybe bring a different angle to things. That is really important. And I think a little bit of that is people looking at the sideline and looking at McGeaney, who is talking so much about the team he had around him in Donaghy, in Gilligan, in McKeever, and what they did. And other players are thinking, is our setup bringing that to the table? Or do we need to do something different here? So that might be a little bit of, like, you know, the winner set the template, and there's a bit of copycat that always goes on. But I do think that's so important. So people like Desi Dolan, Andy Moran, Jason Sherlock, Paddy Christie possibly, who was an intercounty manager last year, they would be in very high regard in terms of going in somewhere and seeing what they can add to a setup.
Yeah, I say Kieran Donaghy might be a man in demand over the next couple of seasons. Continuing with GAA, new Kildare manager Brian Flanagan was in studio this week, and he told us all we need to know about how his new backroom team will work.
My coaching team, Aidan O'Rourke, is going to be the lead coach, Damien Hendy is going to be the assistant coach, and Darragh Flynn is going to be the selector. And I would have been very clear from day one that they were the roles I wanted. I didn't necessarily want anything beyond that, and I knew my own involvement then, especially in year one, when there's so much from a structures point of view, panel selection point of view, even financially and other ways in the background, that we're trying to develop things in Kildare GAA, that to try and take on the coaching aspect as well was going to be too much. And you only have to go back to the James Horan interview to realise how much is involved. So I wanted people I could trust, that were best in class in terms of what they could do, that I could lean on, and that collectively we'd have a shared view of how we want to play the game and a shared vision. And we've already had them conversations. I mean, before anything was agreed, we had them conversations to say, this is how we see the game, this is how we view Kildare football and how we want to play. And I think once there was alignment amongst the coaching ticket, I'm very comfortable now to be the manager and let Aidan and Damien and the lads do it, and I will have my touch points along the way.
Can you talk to us a bit about what that is? Is that, I presume it's not a state secret just yet?
No, not necessarily. I mean, the game is played, I would say, in a similar pattern by a lot of teams now. And my view is you can't have one style of football anymore. That what I want is a team who are very adaptable tactically, that we can move between systems even within games, but certainly from game to game, based on weather conditions, based on opposition, based on our own situation at a given time in terms of momentum, not having momentum, being a man up, a man down. And I think we won't get there overnight, and we may not get there in the first few months, but we want to get this team to a point that they can play in different ways, and that they have a football IQ that is above and beyond, that allows them to take responsibility on the field and manage things on the field as they see it, but that there is a knowledge base built into this team over the next few months and years that allows us to play in different manners, Jaron. Like, there will be times that requires a full-on press and going after teams. There will be times we need to sit back a little bit and absorb some pressure and come through bad moments. But if the character, if the resilience, the game IQ, the intelligence is on the field and the experience, I think we'll get there.
New Zealand rugby legend Sonny Bill Williams spoke to Jaron Adrian this week. He told us all we need to know about how to connect with the All Blacks as players if you're a coach.
I look at it from a different point of view. We've got to connect to correct. How can I get these players playing at 95 to 100% of their capacity? Because it's the long game. You can't just turn up one week and not turn up the other and the next, excuse me. So if it was me, I would like to see someone, I don't want this to be controversial at all, but someone that can relate to these boys a bit more from a background point of view, from an ethnicity point of view. Now, obviously, we've got to get the right men in for the job, but there's a lot of brothers in New Zealand rugby at the moment that could fill that spot. We've got Tamati Allison in there that I'm hearing has been really great for the boys to connect with. I just believe at that level, everyone knows how to play rugby, bro. You know how to play rugby, but how am I going to get Dalton Papali'i to play at his best? That's the key. So it's about belief. It's about understanding the game plan, but it's about getting these guys to perform week in, week out.
So that's what you need to know from this week's sport. You can listen to the full interviews now on Off The Ball app by becoming a member at offtheball.com/join. If you're not quite ready to become a full member, download the app, sign in, and you can listen to three of those pods for free as you get three free listens a month. Just make sure to hit download on that episode so that you can come back to it later. And of course, you can catch all of Off The Ball Breakfast for free by tuning in each morning at 7:30 a.m. You can watch on our YouTube channel or listen to us on OTB Sports Radio, which streams live on the Off The Ball app. We'll be back Monday morning at 7:30 with all the reaction from Ireland versus England. Jenny Claffey will review the US Open Finals, and we'll have Gregor Paul talking South Africa and New Zealand, plus, of course, the latest performance rankings. Have a great weekend.